A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, I know their works and their thoughts, and I come to gather nations of every language. They shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them. From them, I will send fugitives to the nations, to Tarshish, Put, and Lut, Mesach, Tubal, and Javan, to the distant coastlands that have never heard of my fame or seen my glory, and they shall proclaim my glory among the nations. They shall bring all your brothers and sisters from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots, in carts, upon mules and dromedaries, to Jerusalem, my holy mountain, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring their offerings to the house of the Lord in clean vessels, some of these I will take as priests and Levites, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, you have forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as children. My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. Endure your trials as discipline. God treats you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy, but for pain. Yet later it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be disjointed, but healed. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last."
Verbum Domini.
In the year 1604, in the city of Brussels, Belgium, two young men who were living a very sinful lifestyle went to a prostitute's house. They spent some time there in the evening. Eventually, one of the two went back home. And before he went to bed, he was taught, even though he lived a very sinful lifestyle, to pray some Hail Marys a day, maybe three Hail Marys before he went to bed. So as he was going to bed, after praying those three Hail Marys, maybe he was very distracted when he prayed the Hail Marys, but at least he tried. As he was going to bed, he heard someone knocking on his door, and he opened the door and he saw his friend who stayed at the prostitute's house. And his friend looked very different. He looked like a devil. So this boy who was trying to fall asleep said, "Who are you?" because he looked so different. And his friend said, "Do you not recognize me?" And eventually, the boy that stayed at the prostitute's house said, "I have been damned to hell. My body lays in the street. After I left the prostitute's house, someone strangled me to death." So this was what the man that was damned to hell said to the boy that prayed the Hail Marys: "Know that my punishment would also have been yours, but the Blessed Virgin, on account of those few Hail Marys said in her honor, has saved you. Happy will it be for you if you know how to avail yourself of this warning." It's a pretty scary thought to see your friend basically damned to hell. So eventually, the one who was warned, the one who was still alive, he started to weep and cry, and he obviously thanked the Blessed Virgin Mary for saving him from going to hell through her intercession. And he knew that he had to do a lot of penance. He repented for his sins immediately. And he asked God, what should I do to make reparation, satisfaction for all of these horrible sins? And at that moment, he heard bells, and it was from a Franciscan friary close by. So he went to the friary immediately, and he told the Franciscans there his story, and he said, I want to join because I want to do penance pretty much for the rest of my life based on the sinful life that I have lived. And of course, the guardian of the community didn't want him to enter based on his sinful life. Obviously, he needed to practice some virtue first before he entered in. But he told them the whole story about how his friend and himself were at this prostitute's house and that his friend was just strangled to death. So two of those friars went outside of this prostitute's house and they found the body of the boy that was strangled to death, his body being all black. And they believed his story. And eventually this young man entered into the Franciscan friary and he became a lay brother. He did lots of penance. Eventually, he became a missionary and he was sent to Mexico first, and then he was later ordained a priest in the Philippines. And then he continued his missionary work to India, and eventually he went to Japan. And in Japan, he was martyred by being burned at the stake. He was martyred in Nagasaki, Japan in 1622, about 75 years after St. Francis Xavier helped spread the faith in Japan. This man who was martyred in Nagasaki, Japan was later beatified by Blessed Pius IX with 200 plus other martyrs that were either burned to death or beheaded. This young man that entered the Franciscans is known as Blessed Richard of St. Anne. So basically, he's on his way to canonization. So where does this story come from? It may seem like it was just made up. I mean, who says a story like this? This story comes from Blessed Richard of St. Anne himself. Now, I got this story from reading the book, The Glories of Mary, by St. Alphonsus Liguori. Obviously, this is a great story to help us, especially have devotion to Mary. If it wasn't from the Blessed Virgin Mary and her intercession, he would have been damned to hell for all eternity. And we thank God that he repented, and basically he became a martyr, which practically means automatic canonization for all intents and purposes. God willing, he'll eventually get formally canonized someday as a Franciscan martyr. So other sources, just in case you haven't read The Glories of Mary, the Annals of Franciscan Missions from the years 1866 to 67 also recounts Blessed Richard of St. Anne's experience, and the Tresagium Marianum by R.B. Hadrano, the Jesuit. You know, I pray that we all have a holy fear of hell. Now, it's not like every homily has to warn people about the possibility of going to hell. But we should mention it at times, especially based on what's happening in the world today. It is a good thing to warn people that there is a possibility of going to hell. Now, it shouldn't stop there. We want to go to heaven. We want to become saints, hopefully. We don't want to offend the infinite loving God. That is the goal. But a first step, a good first step, is avoiding hell, to have this holy fear. Now, the reason why I bring up this story, obviously it's a story of basically a saint, and we should hear stories of saints, but the gospel today is about warning people of hell. Jesus actually talked about hell more than he talked about heaven. All you have to do is read the Gospels. This is the Gospel of Luke from today's Gospel. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" It's a good question to ask Jesus. Will only a few people go to heaven? So he answered, this is in the Gospel, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough." These are words directly coming from our Lord. And he continues, "After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." If you read the Gospels, Jesus constantly uses this phrase, "There will be wailing and grinding of teeth." Now, I don't know about you, I don't usually use words like this, wailing and grinding of teeth. I mean, maybe if you're a dentist, you would talk about someone maybe grinding their teeth, maybe while they're sleeping or something like this. But obviously shows you the pain that someone would have to endure if they're in hell. And wailing, who wants to hear someone wail? Maybe a baby wails out loud. Maybe kids wail out loud if they're on a long trip for like 8 hours in the car. Nobody wants to hear these things. Nobody wants to experiencing grinding of teeth. But this is the image our Lord used in the gospel today. Now, if you read the parallel gospel, Matthew 7, 13 through 14, Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Now, after I read words like this, especially as a priest, I pray. I pray for the conversion of myself. I pray for the conversion of sinners. I don't want anyone to go to hell. But Jesus is clear, many will try, but only a few will enter through this constricted gate. So we should all pray, obviously, that we die in the state of grace, that we persevere, that we go to heaven, but we pray that everybody else goes to heaven as well. I mean, isn't this why this network exists? Yes, for catechesis, for the celebration of the sacraments, but also to pray that people will go to heaven, that we pray in reparation, in satisfaction, in atonement for people's sins so that they may turn to God. Mother Angelica, she started a religious order called the Poor Clare Nuns of Perpetual Adoration. They're in Hansville, Alabama, about an hour's north of a drive from here. They pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, especially in reparation for sinners, so that they may go to heaven. Maybe we can adopt something like that in our life based on hearing a scripture passage as such. If someone is damned to hell, they have chosen to go to hell. I just want this to be said. God wants everyone to go to heaven. Just look at the crucifix. He took upon our sins and made them his own in the person of Jesus Christ. He died for all. If we were the only person living on the face of this earth, Jesus would come down and die on the cross for us, individually speaking. But the thing is, we have a free will. We can choose to go to heaven, cooperate with the grace of God, but we can choose to go to hell. And that's what the devil is all about. That's what the fallen angels, they're here, so to speak, tempting us and committing sin so we can be damned to hell for all eternity. Now, I remember preaching about this. It seems like for some priests, this might be a hard topic to talk about. I don't know necessarily why it would be hard. We say this out of charity. We pray. We say this to help people, not to condemn anyone. But sometimes it's not said. So I remember preaching a mission. This is somewhere in Northern California. I'm a missionary preacher, a father of mercy. I remember preaching about this gospel, or the at least words from the gospel. And after I was done, a lady came up to me. And she seemed so frustrated of hearing these words. And she told me, "I think it would be impossible for someone to go to hell." And she ran off. She did not want to hear this from Jesus Christ. So she basically thought that everyone goes to heaven, no matter what they do, no matter what type of lifestyle, no matter what type of mortal sins, unrepentant, they will still go to heaven. This is what you call Christian universalism. Basically, it's a heresy. There is judgment. We will be judged. We will be judged on our actions. This is part of our faith, to actually say that everyone goes to heaven regardless of what types of sins they have. If they are unrepentant, they still go to heaven. That's heresy. So let me read a passage from the gospel, or excuse me, from the letter of Jude here. This is Jude 5 through 7. "Now I desire to remind you, though you were once fully informed, that he who saved a people out of the land of Egypt afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels that did not keep their own position but left their proper dwelling have been kept by him in eternal chains in the deepest darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise acted immorally and indulged in unnatural lust, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire." These are words directly from the Bible. We know people are in hell. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, they have gone to this eternal punishment. So to actually say this Christian universalism is true, that's false. Now, again, we always end with hope. Yes, hell is a reality, but also God's mercy is infinite. That no matter what we have done, no matter what type of sin someone has committed, God will always forgive them if they repent. So we pray, we go to Jesus in the Eucharist. If you do not have a communion intention today at Mass, I recommend, based on the scripture passage, to offer your communion for the conversion of sinners. It is good to frequently offer communion for the conversion of sinners. Now, we obviously have to convert ourselves by God's grace. We try our best. I recommend frequenting confession. Even if you're not committing mortal sin frequently, still go to confession. It is good to always cleanse our souls. We always want to be ready. We don't know when Jesus will come back. We don't know when we're going to die. That is, it's a good practice to frequent confession, to have an examination of conscience every day before we go to bed and ask for forgiveness for our sins. But really, on an average scale within a church, I don't think frequent confession is something that Catholics practice. I've been around. I know, I hear confessions at times like 8 hours a day, especially when preaching a mission. It's not necessarily a common thing for Catholics to frequent confession, such as going once a month. If so, us priests would be in the confessional so many more hours a day. If you look at the average bulletin, so to speak, maybe confession is heard maybe an hour or two a whole week, and yet the devil is running around rampant. So we pray, especially in reparation for our sins and other people's sins, knowing we want everyone to go to heaven. Let us pray at least 3 Hail Marys a day. Learn from the story of in the glories of Mary. We give ourselves to Jesus through Mary. We pray for others, maybe 3 Hail Marys for someone that we know, externally speaking, that may be on the road to hell. I mean, we don't know their intentions. We don't know what's in their heart, but at least externally speaking, we may see that they may be living an immoral life. We can pray 3 Hail Marys for them as well. God willing, we'll persevere. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.